Hello, and welcome back to It's My Thing with myself, Max Guo. So I'm just going to hop right in. I'm going to start talking about junior year and my senior year, even though I skipped sophomore year, just because I felt with time constraints, I want to get junior year and senior year done first because they are more important to me than my sophomore year was. So basically my junior year was eventful because I just had a lot of work to do. As a junior, you start to take higher level classes like APs and such, and you start to realize your responsibilities as an adult, or as a young adult, I should say, and became more responsible as a result. Time management skills were on point. I tried my best to go to sleep as much as I could, but of course that's always a hard thing to do when you're trying to maintain your GPA, you're trying to do tons of extracurriculars so to make your resume look strong, to explore your interests, because that's really what high school is about, is to find out what you like to do and present that essentially to colleges, because that's really your segue or your gateway into the rest of your life. Junior year, so first thing off the bat, SATs. I studied a ton. I studied quite a bit for the SATs. I spent about a month practicing SAT questions and SAT tests. I took the old SAT, the one out of 2400. And I did well on the test, so I never had to take it again. It was a lot of time spent in that SAT, trying to get that SAT score up. Because unfortunately, as it is, that SAT score does matter a lot. Colleges do look at that, and they start to categorize people by how well they do. You need to reach a certain threshold, essentially, to be competitive with other students. That SAT knocked that out of the park. But then in terms of GPA and such, my GPA definitely went up from my sophomore and freshman year, because I did gain a lot of experience in time management. I was able to do well in my classes because I did homework and looked at work ahead of time as well, so I could stay on top of my work when it actually came around. So I took AP Statistics, AP Biology. Those are my two APs, and I did well on both AP tests. And those classes were extremely fun, and I know that I definitely want to go into some field of science or math now because of those classes. They really help enlighten me and to see like what I could really do with my knowledge and to become a critical thinker, because those classes are very heavily dependent on how you apply your knowledge rather than just memorizing things yourself. I also took Honors Physics, which is an extremely fun class. I took it with Mr. Kerwin, and he's one of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. He's always enthusiastic, and he really shed his enthusiasm onto his students, especially myself, and I felt compelled to learn physics, and I felt interested to be in his class, even though physics was brand new to me. I took pre-calculus, BC, with Dr. Gobler, and man, did I feel like I felt something weird, because I've always been very good at math, and I've always had good grades in math, and I've always known exactly what I'm doing in math. However, pre-calc BC especially, it kind of just made me feel almost incompetent in a sense, because there were a lot of times where I didn't know exactly what was happening. I had to seek the teacher for help and everything. So that was definitely a new experience, because I was definitely like a cocky math student. Who felt like I knew everything, but in fact, I really didn't know much at all. And lastly, I took English with Dr. Nichols, and she was fantastic. I took French as well, but Dr. Nichols was a fantastic influence on who I am as a person, because like, not only is she very qualified in the field of English, but she taught me a lot about like what to write, how to write, and just become a better reader and listener as well. So it's not really so much about analyzing English text. It's more like conveying my knowledge and conveying my understanding of different pieces of literature in a way that makes sense to everybody and makes sense to an audience. And I think that was really important coming from her, who has almost dedicated her entire life to studying how to do this in the most efficient way possible. So yeah, that's basically what my school was like. School life was like. I did a lot of extracurriculars. I was on the varsity mock trial team. I sang a cappella. I started my astronomy club, which I have to reinvest some time into because it has fallen a little bit off the radar recently. But it will return. No worries, no doubt about that. But yeah, junior year was the year that I really discovered who I was and what I wanted to do with my life. And yeah, so from that age, I know what I want to do with my life, and that's to be some sort of economics financial analyst. I want to understand how the money works in the world. I want to make a change in the world for the better. I want to help developing countries. I want to help fund medicine practices. I want to help figure out the best way to use money so we don't like waste it on certain things that aren't as important, if that makes any sense. So yeah, I definitely have a change the world kind of perspective, and I am ambitious right now, but who knows what's going to happen in the future. Yeah, so we'll see where that goes. Yeah, so basically, the only reason I wanted to do that is because like I felt like I have pretty good critical thinking skills, and I can analyze these problems to the best of my a reasonable degree of credibility, I would say. First semester and most of the second semester, and I kind of had to break things off because it was getting really busy with schoolwork as well. But then came along the more issues with, I guess, politics and things like that, especially with the election coming up. I started to see some division, actually, in the school. Some avid Republicans and avid Democrats, for sure, spoke out. And it was definitely clear that Episcopal is a relatively liberal and democratic school. I felt that some of the chapel speeches indicated this this political correctness, in a sense. So yeah, I don't want to specifically call anybody out or any people out, but I felt like some of the chapel speeches, they definitely did give some insight on the way that some of the Democratic people thought. But I thought that they could have been they could have been in better taste in a different environment rather than in the chapel. I think the chapel should be a place to reflect on your past experiences rather than ignite a sense of unity amongst liberal people, if that makes any sense. But yeah. Also, I noticed a lot of the time on campus that there is a lot more PC. There's a PC culture at EA that people must obey essentially the new generation of lingo and the way that people talk. No words such as like gay and like homophobic are no longer acceptable at EA to say just in a random occurrence like that. Just like say like something is so gay is just not okay anymore. So yeah, that's just something that I observed. In terms of race, I felt like a lot of the time it was being highlighted. And I remember one speech in particular talking about the Asian stereotypes and to embrace them, essentially. But I don't know if the speech necessarily did a great job of doing that. And also, that what happened there was people began to talk about that Asian, you know, stereotype and that racial awareness. But that was only for like a day or two, maybe, at most. And then it just everything went back to normal, and you saw again the division in race, Asians with Asians in the library, African American black people with other black people, and then mostly white people with white people. So yeah, there's still definitely just a racial barrier somehow, and I don't know exactly what the problem is, but I do want to offer a solution. I want to offer a possibly activities that involve like one of each race. I know it's going to be hard because there's an uneven mix, but I feel like activities that involve, that require different races to participate on like a team or something like that would definitely help breach that barrier in diversity and racial division. Yeah. That may not have been worded correctly, but I hope you understand what I'm saying there. So that's basically my take on the social aspect of EA. As I said, like, I had a girlfriend and everything, and she was she definitely brought me some perspective from a different school. She went to a different school, and I noticed that EA is much different in the sense that we for sure have a much more liberal perspective than most of these other schools. She went to Conestoga, yeah. So yeah, that was my junior year, essentially, in a nutshell. Now I'm going to interview a few people to get their take on EA as a whole. People that I grew close to in junior year. Some friends that I made at EA. So I hope you enjoy that. We'll get right to it. Yeah. So first I want to talk to Jonathan Freeman. He's a black member of the Episcopal community and an avid football player. Don't get anything twisted about his football ability. I looked up to him as an athlete, and I look up to him as a friend because, he's a really genuine and good guy, and he always has a good time with whatever he does, and it's infectious, really it is. To hear his laugh, it's so bold and boisterous that it just doesn't help but you can't help but crack a smile. So without further ado, here's Jonathan Freeman. So I'm with Jonathan Freeman. I've had the pleasure of knowing Jonathan for the past 4 years. He came to Episcopal as a freshman.
Yeah, as a ninth grader.
As a ninth grader, and so I just want to get his insight. I find Jonathan to not only be extremely athletic, and I look up to him for his athleticism and just the way he conducts himself on the football field. He every time he plays, he looks like he's having genuine fun out there, and that's something that a lot of people, I guess, forget about sports, that it's for fun.
Yeah, a lot of people, I feel like as a kid, though, it's more about the fun and about enjoying yourself and just going out there and just being a kid, doing kid things. But, like, as you get older and sports in general become more serious, it's more about winning and things like that. But, I mean, I feel like right now, like, I play football for fun, I guess, but, like, it's more about the winning part for me. Mm-hmm. You only genuinely have fun when you win. Like, nobody likes losing. Everybody hates it. That's true. It's not fun when you lose. So, yeah. I guess they're come hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you can have fun and win at the same time because you're pretty good at football, right? I just want to touch on that. Like, what do you think being a student athlete at Episcopal is like? Especially, were you recruited for football, or were you just come in for?
I guess kind of. I don't know. Okay. Not really. When I came,
yeah,
on
we
my
don't
visit,
really do recruiting. Ever,
yeah,
actually.
When I came on my visit, nobody knew I would play football. Mm-hmm. But
so then no, yeah, then no.
No,
yeah.
But like the only reason why like nobody ever seen me play, the only reason why they knew I did play football is because, you know, Coach Gile, I played with Coach Gile for an all-star team, and then he told Coach Fairley I was pretty good, like, after I came on my visit and stuff, but that's how
okay.
I make it.
Yeah, so tell me, like, a little bit about, like, your experience as, like, an athlete at Episcopal. Like, how much work do you have as for your sports, and then how much time do you spend on academics then? Something like that.
It's a little bit about my day, and, like, in the fall.
Yeah, just run through your day.
I wake up around, like, 5 to catch the bus. Jeez. The bus comes at like 5 something, a little bit after 5, and then it's like a 2-hour ride. Then I get to school, do all the schoolwork.
Where you live?
Things like that. I live in Philadelphia.
Okay.
I live in like Mount Airy. It's usually like a 45-minute ride, but like since we have to go through Center City, in the morning time, it takes a lot longer. So I get to school, I'm doing schoolwork till about like 2:45, and then like from 2:45 to like 3:45. Before practice, it varies. I could do work or just relax, try to catch some rest before practice. Then from like 3:45 to like 6 o'clock, I had to leave right from practice to get on the bus to go home. Get home at 8. Then get home, usually pretty tired. I might do some hard work on the bus depending on the lighting and like if I'm tired or whatever. I get home, probably start my homework as soon as I can. Probably finish, but like I still have to eat and like wash up and sleep. But people forget about going to EA. It doesn't matter if you play football or not, people forget about that, and then wake up and do it again.
That's great. That's an intense schedule.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the work part, I think it kind of varies because a lot of people don't take, well, not a lot of people, some people take sports, I mean, sports more serious than others. So it just all depends. Like, I'm not going to try to sit up here and make excuses for myself because I signed up for football. Yeah, like, I have a choice to. It's not like somebody's like, you got to do it, you know?
Yeah, I think just, that's like what a lot of people forget is like they're being overworked, but you don't have to do a lot of these things.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, I don't have to take football as serious as I do. Mm-hmm. So I can't really sit up here and complain about, oh, they're giving us a lot of work. They give everybody a lot of work. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people forget that this is a choice. Do you want to play football and have schoolwork, or do you just want to, like, have schoolwork?
Yeah, there's other things to do as well. Yeah. And so do you think that was worth it, though?
Like, it's definitely worth it because there's a lot of benefits that come with, like, playing football and working hard at it and becoming good at it over the years and doing the same thing in the classroom because a lot of people... athletes have an advantage because a lot of workplaces when you get out of college and stuff, they like athletes because it shows a lot of things that you can work with others. You're determined, you're a hard worker, and it just gives you advantage on a lot of people.
Yeah, thanks for the insight there. For all like the four viewers or listeners, probably not even four that are listening to this right now, Jonathan is black. So that's one of the big reasons I wanted to talk to you. Actually, was just to get to understand because obviously I'm not black, guys. I just want to understand like as a black student or African American student, if it politically correct. What kind of effect does that have on you? Like, do you feel like? Just tell me about your experience as an African American student here. Do you feel like? Yeah. whatever you can say.
It's definitely a lot different from other people because when people see me, the first thing they probably think is like, oh, Jonathan's here for football since he's like so good. But not a lot of people know that nobody knew I played football when I came on my visit. Like,
yeah, I didn't know that.
Nobody. I was just like a regular student that you see every day when they come visit. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just one of them kids. It wasn't nothing special about it. Like, I didn't get paired up with a football player. The people that I did get paired up with, I didn't know. They were just like regular students. So, but like people, it's always, I don't know. Being black is always definitely like the stereotypes when you come to like a smart school, really smart school. Like, maybe he's not as smart as everybody else. Or
I know that's whatever. Not true.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, it's not trying to say like it's always those type of people in school that you're always gonna think like, oh, he's not that smart or he's here for football. But obviously, those are the people who don't know me, so I don't really try to defend myself against someone I don't even know because they're just blind. You can't change someone who can't be changed.
Yeah, and by the way, guys, Jonathan, although he doesn't take like every single honors class, right?
Yeah.
When you talk to him, you get to understand like who he is as a person and that he actually is. Extremely intelligent person. Like, maybe he doesn't take the hardest classes, when you talk to him, you're talking to a genuine person. You're not talking to like somebody who, you know, is just slacking basically. And I think, has your Episcopal experience like, do you regret anything about it, or do you think has it changed you as a person, like from when your freshman year, like probably right?
Yeah, definitely changed me a lot. Do I regret things? Nah, not really. I don't regret. The reason why I came to EA in the first place is because I always wanted to build my own legacy. And I always wanted to be different than everybody else. And I always wanted, my dad always taught me that, like, I think the schools that I was probably either going to go to besides EA would have been like St. Joe's Prep or Haverford School, but not too much Haverford School because I didn't really like it that much. But it's either it was St. Joe's Prep or EA. And my dad, one of the things my dad told me was like, what do you want to do? Like, do you want, like, I could go to St. Joe's Prep any day. It's in Philly. Like, I could go there. Like, I live around those people. Like, I know those people. I experience that every day when I walk out the house. Or do you want to go someplace far away from where you live to experience a different, experience something different than what you do on a daily basis, right, and interact with people that you don't normally see or talk to? And that's one of the things that really, like, when he said that, it kind of, like, clicked as a young kid. Like, it's not all about doing what people expect you to do. Sometimes you gotta do things that's different and then build a path for other people that's gonna come after you, like younger kids in the city who look up to me and who want to be like me, and they look at me. I need to be that person, because Philadelphia is not a it's not a place that you want to be at when you grow up. Like, mm-hmm. It's not someplace. Like, you want to try to do your best to get out of Philadelphia and try to broaden your horizons and do more stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I just want a kid who looks up to me, or who's just like me when I, like, as a young kid.
I'm sure there are many people.
Yeah. I want him to look at me and be like, yeah, I want to be like John, and I want to do something different, and mm-hmm. I want to change. I want to set my family up to do bigger things than what they're doing right now. And that's always how I looked at my experience at EA. Like, no matter what was going on, no matter how much, like, I hated waking up dumb early or, like, super early in the morning. Like, no matter how much, like, that, like, I hated that. Like, I'm always just going to be like,
yeah,
you know what? It's more than myself. It's just about people that's coming after me, like, how I got to make a way for them mm-hmm. so that they can be better.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible. So yeah, do you have anything else you want to add? Just like to sum up your experience at EA, maybe.
I'm just very grateful to be given the opportunity to come mm-hmm. to, like, a beautiful place like this.
Wait. Can I ask you a different question? My bad. Segueing away from that a little bit, what do you think maybe EA is doing right, and, like, what do you think you would like to change about EA?
One of the things that they're doing right, when I was an eighth grader, and when I wanted to come to EA, and even now, like, it's definitely a family environment for the most part. I feel like they do a good job of, like, making people feel comfortable, you know, and I mean, maybe just from, like, my perspective, I know it's not a lot of people like me, but, like, I feel like I can connect to with just about anybody. So, like, that's why I feel like it's just a comfortable place. One of the things that they can improve, I don't really know. That's kind of, like, that's a good question. I don't know. I think I'm the wrong person to ask, to be honest about it, because, like, I don't really have too many problems with people, mm-hmm. and I could connect with anybody. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's not a lot of people that are like me, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you have anything else to add about your experience at EA?
No, like I said, I'm just grateful to be able mm-hmm. to come here every day and, you know, to use the resources. And, like, EA has just been, like, a second home to me, because I'm here, like, every day, mm-hmm. all day, 24/7. So
yeah. That's
all I can pretty much say. I'm just grateful for it. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jonathan, for talking to me.
Thank you.
So I want to thank Jonathan for conducting that interview with me. I have a few more with other respected members of the society. So without further ado, I'm going to talk to Jeff Coote. Jeff Coote has been a good friend of mine for, I would say, since about 6th or 7th grade. And we really hit it off in 8th grade, where we had almost every class together. He's been a great, great friend of mine. And although he's a goofball, he's always got a smile on his face, and he always laughs at my jokes. And I don't know if, like, all of them are funny or not, but, like, yeah, he gives me confidence. And yeah, so without further ado, here's Jeff. Okay, so I'm with Jeffrey Coote, the notorious JJC. So yeah, I think I've had the pleasure of knowing Jeffrey for quite a bit of time now, since fifth grade. I really want to hear what he has to say about, like, his experience at EA. And what he thinks about some of the touchier issues on campus and things like that. Because I think Jeffrey... Let me just give you a quick introduction of Jeffrey. So Jeffrey, blonde, about 6'2".
6 foot, please.
6 foot. He's actually the president of our student body. So he's quite the leader in that aspect. He's a great public speaker. And I know him to be an extremely
Although he may not take every honors class, he's an extremely like intelligent person when you talk to him. Yeah, when you talk to him, he sounds like a genuine person. I don't know if that's just an act, but you know that's what I get from Jeffrey. So Jeffrey, talk to me. Can you give me a quick introduction of yourself?
I've been going to EA since pre-K. I've had three siblings come through here, graduate. What else do you want to know? I mean, that's pretty much me. Mm-hmm. As far as EA goes.
Yeah. So can you tell me a little bit about your heritage?
My heritage.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a dad from England. He's, you know, grew up in London. All my family on that side is originated from England, in Europe. My mom, she's from California, and you know, they kind of met somewhere in the middle. Pretty much, as far as lineage goes, probably English, Irish.
Nice. French. So you're white, right?
Yep, white.
Okay, so. If you don't mind me asking, like, how do you think being a very just a white person on EA on the EA campus is like in the EA community? How do you think that what has that experience been like?
I mean, it's a very comfortable experience. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't know anything else. EA is a very like white school, to be frank, but I think it's from talking with people. I mean, I don't know how. Everyone's experience is different, but some people, you know, have felt that the school might not be the most, as far as the student body might not be the most welcoming towards migrants. And there's definitely, I'm not migrants.
Migrants? Yeah. You imperialist?
I'm sorry. I misspoke there. Minorities. And, you know, the school tends to be a little, like, you know, cliquish as far as that goes, but that's yeah. But for me, you know, I've always had a very comfortable experience here. Mm-hmm. I've never felt any issues.
Okay. Thanks for that insight. So you're a lifer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you've only been to EA throughout your whole academic career. How is that like? Have you regretted anything about that, or do you think if you could do it over again, you would do it any differently?
I mean, I'm a big believer in no regrets, you know, and I would never do anything over again. But right. Certainly the kids who I know who have had other educational experiences, you know, it's very interesting to hear from them, you know, how things they've experienced that have been different from EA, you know, hearing what they can appreciate from EA given their past like schools or, in, you know, things that they're critical of. So I think, yeah, it's interesting to hear from kids who have not been at EA all their lives, but I would not do anything ever again. I love the school, but
what do you love about the school?
I guess
a better question is, what do you think Episcopal is doing right?
Doing right?
Yeah.
I mean, it just gives so many opportunities to the student body. I mean, it's granted me so many great experiences from, you know, going to Belize over J term and, you know, things on campus such as like community service, and it's really been a great platform for me to like develop my leadership, and I've always been supported in that manner. But you know, it's also when things are rolling right, I think it's there's a great unity in the student body. But as I said, when things are going right, it hasn't always been that way. But right now, I think there's a great vibe around the campus. Friendly. Great teachers, I say that. The teachers here are amazing, very inspiring.
Mm-hmm. And so just like to touch your subject, I guess, what do you think Episcopal is doing wrong? Is there anything you would change? If you had the power to change one thing, what would you change? Be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't want it in, we can always cut it out. So it's not
yeah, I mean, as I said, right now things are rolling quite well. My opinion, we're on a good track as far as student body goes. But I think moving forward, as I said, I value hearing from kids and getting to know kids who have had different experiences than me. So in that regard, maybe I think school could really do a better job of bringing kids of different experiences, whether that's race, whether that's, you know, various races, various socioeconomic situations, different backgrounds, slightly different heritages, but so I mean, I think the school could focus a lot more on diversity, because you know I value other kids' opinions and yeah, experiences.
It's wise words from our president.
Yeah.
So yeah, do you have anything else you want to add? Maybe.
No.
No.
I mean. So what is this project part of? Is this
for my J term. It's a podcast in J term. So not only is Jeffrey one of the most well dressed people on campus, but he is also a great interviewee. So thank you so much, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
So I want to thank Jeffrey so much for taking the time to take interview with me. So thanks so much, Jeff. And last but certainly not least, I want to talk to Max Moyer. Who has been a good friend of mine since third grade at a different school even, and we came together to EA, and yeah, he's a good friend of mine, and I just want to talk about his experience because he's one of the smartest people that I've ever met, and he's just he's a great guy, and I want to hear his perspective and possibly compare it with mine. So without further ado, here's Maximo.
All right, hey, I'm with Maximo Moyer now. Maximo's been a good buddy of mine for the past, I want to say, 9 years.
Yeah, 9 years.
Yeah. But anyway, you might have seen him in the hallways. He's got freckles. Or he's got dying freckles, actually. And
it's winter.
No eyebrows. He's just, yeah, very ginger and very 5'11". Maximo, you want to give a quick introduction of yourself? Maybe, like, just talk about, like, who you are as a person.
Yeah, sure. So, obviously, my name is Maximo. I'm a squash player. I have one older brother, two dogs. I like to play video games in my free time. I'm great at ping pong and pinball.
Nice.
I'd say Thai food is my favorite food, and Italian takes a close second.
He's Italian, by the way. He's a traitor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of a... It's a bit of a sore spot for my family. We don't talk about that much. My fifth grade teacher was Mr. Powell, and I guess my favorite color would be, I look best in light blue, and I like probably green the most.
Yeah. He's also a German imperialist. His name is actually Das Moyer, so. Yeah. But anyways, I just want to talk to you about a few things, because I think... Maximo is actually probably one of the most intelligent people I've ever met in my life.
Oh my god, it's tough.
Yeah, no, this is really savvy, but I'm not even kidding. Like, his ability to take, like, problems and, like, scenarios and, like, kind of just think about them, like, thoroughly is, like, actually absurdly fabulous. Okay, that's maybe not the right wording, but you know what I mean. Like, he's able to think about things, like, at a higher level than most people, and something I admire from him a lot. So I actually really want to get a little bit of his insight. Maximo, can you just talk about your experience at EA and like how it's been? Because I know you transitioned here from a public school, right?
Yeah, I think biggest thing with EA with me was it almost feel there's a specific focus on every student. I'd say I feel. At the school I was at before, it was a public elementary school, the same one as Max went to, called Beaumont. It was...
elementary Bears.
Sometimes you feel go Bears. Sometimes you feel a bit almost left out, and it's easy to almost feel forgotten. But at EA, I think there's a real individual focus, which is cool. And just from a socializing standpoint, I got much, much better when I came to EA. Could have been the change of scenery. But I think also it's just they really work hard to integrate each student into everyday life, really, and care about you.
Yeah, I agree. I agree in a sense, because I think EA is able to... EA does the community aspect well. I think they're there's always opportunities to talk to your students, talk to your fellow students, and talk to your teachers as well. And it really creates a warm environment where, you know, you really feel included.
I also think it's really cool how there's some doctorates teaching in the upper school, and obviously people with higher degrees, like lawyers as well, and people who have been in business and actually had careers, as well as just...
So you're saying teachers haven't had careers? That's a little
I think it's nice how they've had careers outside of teaching.
Didn't you have Senor Shimrock write you a recommendation letter? He's only been a teacher his whole life, so you're saying you're trying to roast him now or something?
What I'm trying to say is I like some different perspectives. I also had Miss Anderson, who has also had a career in something outside of teaching.
And Miss Anderson's the best.
You know? So, Max, tell me about yourself.
Oh, me? Oh, okay, so I'm Asian. I have a pug named Maggie, and she is just awesome. I clean her wrinkles.
What's your sister's and parents' name?
Claire. My mom's name is Rose. My dad's name is Ben.
Oh, I thought we had a bunch of M's in the family.
No, we didn't.
My next door neighbors are Michael, Matt, Maggie, Marita, and Mark. Isn't that insane?
Really?
They're all M.A.s except for Michael.
M.A.
You get the M.I.
Do M.A. M.A. like to the fifth power.
Yeah, mommy, yeah.
Yeah. No, but like actually my neighbors, a lot of them are Episcopal students. So.
Oh, yeah?
People have graduated.
Who's that?
Specifically, Philip Tobar is my
champ, absolute
across
champ.
Across the street from me, literally, I can see him, like, in the bathroom. I can literally look at him driving, like.
You look at Philip Tobar in the bathroom.
Yeah, no, I do. Scott McConnell, I can
Scotty MC.
See his house from my house. Hannah Moriarty, she's my next door neighbor. They have a really annoying dog, but like, and a couple other people I can't think of, but like, but yeah, so that's just a little bit about me, I guess.
She said I had
some more questions. I talked about me plenty. Okay, Maxima, don't try to grill me. I had 27 minutes of footage or coverage about just my life. So Maxima, I'm really intrigued to understand your viewpoints. Maxima, so tell me a little bit about, what you think EA could be doing better. You know, they are a private school, so they could be doing some things wrong. Maybe you could shed some light on that.
I think in the classroom, especially in English and history classes, there's sometimes a lack of ability to be creative. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's, yes, analytical writing is important and things like research papers, but I almost think any kind of ingenuity is the only type of way to get it, the only, like, way to get ahead in life is ingenuity. And I think you don't see a lot of that in classes that should be promoting that. Because, I mean, you can be creative in math and science, but it's a bit tougher. And I think learning the basics in those courses are almost more important than just hammering analytical writing. I think there's time to be almost free write or something like, just projects that you have more of a ability to take hold on your own. I also think, I personally do not like the schedule change at all. I think that in school, you need these breaks throughout the day to actually remain fresh. And kids only have a 20-minute attention span. So expecting somebody to have an hour and 20 minutes class. 20 minutes is even an exceptional attention span. Mm-hmm. That's insane. So you actually need time to take a break. That 5 minutes, shaving it to four, makes for arbitrary class times, starting at what would be 11:36. I mean, that's easily forgotten. Also, especially in courses like math, you can't expect somebody to learn that much new material in one sitting. You need time to process it and think it over. Think it over while you eat, if you're kind of a weirdo like myself.
Hey, Max, so, you are a weirdo.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the schedule change myself. I think it's more geared toward English and history courses that I don't think have been doing a phenomenal job, at least the ones I've been in. I'm taking shots here. But, Mr. Parsons was great. So was Mr. Willis. Hope to God, who's your teacher? Who's your teachers?
This year?
This class.
Mrs. Barr?
No, this class. This J term.
Mr. Shapiro.
And?
Mr. Klein.
Okay. Yeah, so I had Mr. Schaap. He was great. He danced for us.
Yeah, he was. He's an excellent teacher.
Yeah, but I think the school's focusing a lot on history and English.
All right.
And I'm not a huge fan of that.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about, like, the problem with, like, sleep in general for students? I think there was, like, a study that showed, like, students, or teenagers, actually, they have a different sleep schedule than most, than almost every other person. Because they tend to sleep later, like, go to bed later, and then wake up later.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, really, I think it's important that schools, like, start to, like, especially Episcopal, which is, like, a private institution, and they can essentially, like, do...
Yeah, flexibility.
Whatever they want to, and I think they should be able to accommodate students. I think like more sleep is just always better.
I think especially with the new schedule change, they should have instituted at least a few days a week where you could start a bit later. I think part of the issue is too is, I mean my schedule, for example, today I'll have squash at 3:45 to 4:45, and then I have another session at 6:15 to 7, and a lesson from 7 to 7:45.
How do you do it, Max?
So, I don't know. I go
through
the motions.
Not all heroes wear capes, guys.
So, I have to eat at some point between then if my squash ends. I can't realistically do homework between 4:45 and 6 o'clock.
Right, there's no way.
So, you know, my squash ends at, the latest session will end at like 7:45. I'll stretch. I'll probably get home at like 8:30. So, I'm expected to shower, spend some time with my family. It's already probably, realistically, I'm starting my homework at 9:30. And I just think that if I'm starting my homework that late, I should either have less homework, which I know is one of the goals of the new schedule, or I should start later in the day because there's just not enough hours in the day for me to do everything I want to do.
Right. But now hear me out. I've heard from people that a lot of the things that you're doing, though, it's like your choice, right? Mm-hmm. It's like all those squash magic like things. Those are by decision. So yeah. Do you think that maybe, like, if you got rid of a few of those lessons, like, every week or so, like each week, mm-hmm. play less squash?
Yeah.
You think that you could free up your time? I don't know. I think it's more about priorities, of course, right?
Yeah.
Because you did have a successful squash career so far, so.
Yeah, I think the mantra is mind, body, and spirit, not just mind. And I think a lot of the times, there's a lot of emphasis on, I'm fine with homework and hard work, but a lot of it is kind of time wasting.
A lot of busy work.
And I feel like if you can't cut down on homework and you still want to be, if you look at, like, you want kids to be recruited to places and you want to have singers and artists and you want people to actually be exceptional in a few areas outside of academics, then you're going to have to ease off of the homework load or give somebody some time to sleep if you actually want the best of all three facets in your school's mantra.
Yeah, I think that's like a little bit of an issue, especially during like the college process. I think for a preparatory school, this Episcopal like emphasizes balance a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of the colleges don't like balance. They actually like you to like excel at one thing and like be decent mm-hmm. at everything else, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's like an issue, especially like with the in terms of the way that the school supports the students in terms of like the college process. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
No, yeah, I personally did a lot, and I mean, it depends. I mean, the very top schools, you basically have to be
exceptional.
You have to be a Nico Christensen type character
exactly.
Where you're to get in there. I mean,
guy.
Yeah, or you have. I mean, yeah, you have to spend time outside of. The thing is, you have to spend time outside of school if you want to go to one of those schools. Most schools. You have to do like a junior academy of science. I know a lot of people did it who got into good schools. Your future business leaders of America, and that takes time after school. So, if part of this school's job is to prepare you for college and hopefully prepare you to get into a good college, they have to give you some time to explore your interests and
exactly.
explore what you're good at to
yeah.
actually get into the school that you want to get into.
So I'm going to segue a little bit away from like the academics part and go back. So you mentioned mind, body, and spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for the spirit aspect, what kind of religion do you believe? Are you a part of?
Personally, I'm Presbyterian.
Presbyterian.
Were
you baptized?
I was baptized,
confirmed,
yeah.
Or is confirmed only like Catholic?
Confirmed, I'm fairly certain it's Catholic.
Okay, so he's not confirmed, guys.
I'm not confirmed, no. I went to Sunday school as a kid. Parents just trying to, I don't know, expose me to it. My brother has a different belief than I do. My family's all a bit different. My dad's side is super hardcore religious, and my dad is not very hardcore religious. I actually really like chapel. I look forward to it. I think it's nice, a quiet time. I personally am not a fan of when you start to bring like Jesus Christ into each chapel. I kind of like the almost non-secular nature of it, or the secular nature of it.
Yeah.
Because I almost feel more comfortable for everybody else involved, which is, if you're sitting next to somebody who has a different belief than you, I'd like them to feel comfortable. That makes me more comfortable, personally.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the chapel program. I also, go ahead.
I don't know. I feel like, okay, so I might be different. I'm an atheist. But for the religious kind of feel at EA, I feel like other than chapel, everything's fine.
Yeah.
But then in chapel, like, sometimes it's hard for me to just, like, sit there and be okay with everything.
I was going to say, yeah. Like, how do you put up with that?
Especially since, like, you know, like, these are things that I don't believe in. It's really hard for me to, like, relate to everybody else. I personally don't pray because it's hard for me to, you know, like, assimilate to other, like, the way that other people, like, other people's beliefs. And I don't want to say I'm triggered, but, like, I'm just kind of uncomfortable in a sense because I don't, like, especially just during the prayer part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how almost it's just like, it's almost like shoving it down our throats in a sense because, like, I don't know. I mean, like, one prayer I think is good, especially since we're in Episcopalian school, but I think with all the blessings and everything at the end, it's just really, like, it makes for an uncomfortable experience, especially, I know a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah, I was going to say, the new chapel program, I feel like, has gotten a bit more, I don't know, how do you say it, Jesus-y, basically. Jesus-y,
yeah.
I kind of think it's cool. I don't go to church ever, really. We almost didn't go Christmas Eve this year. We did with Christer people. But I think it's kind of cool to, I don't know, have a chapel service and kind of even like meditation with all your classmates was cool. I just feel like prayer is a form of meditation. I feel like that's kind of a unique experience. But I don't mind the kneeling to pray part, but there's a lot of blessing going on, and there have been a few talks about, like, specifically Christian rhetoric in the chapel, and I'm not a huge fan of that. I'm more about life lessons. I feel like that's much more important than my religion.
That transcends all religions, right?
Yeah, I'm not really tied to Presbyterian. It's mainly just I was brought up in that church, and, yeah, it's basically why I identify as that.
Yeah. All right, well, I mean, do you have anything else you want to add? Maybe to the...
School lunches are phenomenal here.
School lunches are phenomenal.
They're expensive, but they're phenomenal.
The prices have gone up quite a bit.
Yeah, but they're... I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah, and so, I mean, that's maximum order for you. I mean, just you can tell by the way he's talking. He's a smart dude. So, he does look good in light blue. All right.
You too, Max.
Thank you.
Again, I want to thank Maximo so much for taking the time to interview with me. He actually spent a lot more time doing that than it seemed. Edited a lot of it. So thank you so much, Maximo. He took time out of his busy schedule with J-Term to come talk to me. So that's what good friends are for, am I right? that about wraps up my podcast for today. I hope you enjoyed. I'll see you next time on It's My Thing, where I'm going to talk about my senior year.